Good morning. Today's daf in Yom Chavav. We're in the Mishnah Chavav Amud Aleph, just finishing up the payasos of the morning, numbers 1 and 2. Every day in the Beis Hamikdash, a lottery was used in order to determine which of the Kohanim are going to be doing the avoda. There's a larger pool of Kohanim, larger population of Kohanim than there are the number of avodas that are to be done. So obviously, a determination of which Kohanim are going to be doing the actual avoda. The Kohanim are broken up, as we've gone over numerous times, into Mishmaros, into Bati Avos. But nevertheless, even though there is a system of breaking up the Kohanim and organizing the Kohanim, but still, there exists more Kohanim than there are jobs. So a lottery in terms of determining. That has been our parak, the second parak of Yuma. And so we are moving along. We are now up to the third and fourth of the Payasos, which basically means we're coming to a conclusion of the second parak. Today, tomorrow, a little bit of Sunday morning. So we're going to be finished here with the second parak of the Masechta. So you recall the first pious, first the lotteries, that was for the Trumas Hadeshen. Trumas Hadeshen, taking a shovelful of the ashen and taking it off the Mizbeach and a mitzvah of the Torah. So that was pious number one. And that was obviously the first Mishnah here in this parak that takes us all the way back to Chav Beis. The Trumas Hadeshen obviously was really early in the morning, and all you're doing is taking off ash off the Mizbeach. So it was given a little bit of a bonus. The Kohen who was awarded the Trumas Hadeshen, so he was also going to be awarded Sidur Maracha, the organization of the pile on top of the Mizbeach, and on top of that also Shnei Gzira Eitzim, two logs of wood. Okay, the second pious is where the main avodas would be done. The shechting and all the other complementary avodas that are done with the carbon tamid. So there are 13 jobs in total on a typical day. We're going to go over that number again today, in today's Mishnah, a little bit later on. So that was done at the second pious, second lottery. Not totally clear whether in the second lottery was more like a convention and then you had like 13 lotteries there, or the Gemara suggested that it was one lottery, and with that one lottery, so we determined actual 13 winners, meaning one winner, obviously, and basically 13 people to his right. Okay, that is lottery number two. So now it brings us up to lottery number three, Apayas HaShlishi. So as far as the third lottery is concerned, Chadashim L'Ketara is Bal V'Efiso, so an announcement was made, and that is only new timers only. If you have won this third lottery in the past, so you are not eligible for this third lottery, but it's only going to be for people who never have won the third lottery. What is the winner of the third lottery getting? So the Mishnah goes on to say, L'Ketaras. So the Mishnah says that the third lottery is for the burning of the Ketaras. And so therefore, only people that are invited to this lottery are Kohanim who never was afforded the opportunity to do the Ketaras. Okay, so the obvious question is why, but the Gemara is going to answer, and I'm sure you've heard this before, or we're going to learn in today's daf. It's because there was something special about the Ketaras, not just that you are burning Ketaras and creating a beautiful fragrance throughout the base of Mikdash, but on top of that, also it's me'asher, it makes you wealthy. So it's a skula, and sometimes, you know how we are with skulas, we get excited about skulas. But nevertheless, there's a skula of the Ketaras, of the burning of the Ketaras, all the Kohanim knew about it. You're going to get wealthy, so the Gemara is going to spell it out. It's a once in a lifetime opportunity, and clearly, by the way, it's an opportunity that's not afforded to every single Kohen. Okay. Yeah, sounds that way. That's the way it sounds like. Harivi, the fourth of the lotteries, Chadashim and Yishanim. So we're going to invite everyone back, meaning even if you won in the past, so you're eligible to do the fourth lottery. Mi'ale varim in a kevesh mizbeach, and the fourth lottery now is going to be moving all the parts of the carbon tamid from the ramp up up to the mizbeach. You recall in the second lottery, so the only thing the Kohanim have been doing, I mean the 13 of them, it's not the only thing, but in terms of where the carbon would actually be put, so they wouldn't go all the way to the top of the mizbeach. They would put it on the ramp, deposit it on the ramp, and then they would take a break. Exactly what that break was for. So the Gemara and Tamid, the Mishnah and Tamid, describe that in more detail. But anyway, according to our Mishnah, there would be now a fourth lottery in order to determine which Kohanim now are going to be bringing it up from the ramp up until the Mizbeach. So presumably also over here, this involved more than one Kohen, meaning there were five Kohanim that brought it up to the ramp. So presumably another five Kohanim are going to take it from the ramp up until the Mizbeach. The number is going to exceed five, but at least for the animal itself, it's going to be five like we described previously in the Mishnah. Okay, so let's start with our Gemara's discussion tonight. Tana, we learned in the Braisa. Me'olam loshana adamba. No one ever repeated this third pious and the Ketores. Ketores was never repeated by a same individual, but rather it was done by a different Kohen every single day. My time, I'm Rabbi Chanina Mibnei Shem Asheres. So the Gemara over here says that we have a yesod that the burning of the Ketores and being involved in the avoda of the burning of the Ketores is going to make somebody wealthy. Amalei Rav Papa La by my time. So the Gemara says, okay, so good. So we have now what's called a skula. So where do we get this from? How do we see this? So the Gemara goes on to describe. So the Gemara says, Ilema Mishem Dechsiv Yasim Ketores Ba Pechok Si Basri Be'erach Hashem Chelo. So maybe it's based on the Psukim in Vezosa Bracha. So the Torah there describes that Yasimu Ketores Ba Pecha, they're going to be placing the Ketores literally right in your nostril, but anthropomorphic. But the Torah goes on to describe Be'erach Hashem Chelo. And if you look at the sequencing of the psukim, so what it sounds like pretty clearly is that once you're involved in the burning of the Ketores, so you're going to be receiving a bracha, a bracha of gashmius. You're going to get wealthy. So the Gemara says that's great. It sounds like we're on the money. However, yeah, go back to that same pasuk. Yasimu Ketores ba'pecha v'chalil al mizbechecha. So the pasuk says that if you're involved in the Ketores or if you are involved in burning the carbon tamid, so then Berech Hashem Chelo. So why do you assume that Berech Hashem Chelo is modifying the Ketores? Why isn't it going also on just simply burning a tamid? Amalei Hashchicha v'halo Shchicha. So the Gemara says, yeah, but there's a difference between the two. Meaning the Gemara says that we have a Mesorah, Berech Hashem Chelo is only going on the Ketores and not going on the burning of the carbon tamid. And why? Meaning what's the distinction to be made? So one is common and one is not so common. Rashi over here writes as follows: Halo shchicha, umistaber dechiksiv osher adlo shchicha. Diim lokin nimtu kol hakol ashirim. So the way Rashi understands it is just basically it's a logical deduction. Look, we know that there's a special bracha of osher coming by being involved in an activity. We also know that we're looking around. Not every kohen is wealthy. Now, if it had to do with the burning of the of a carbon tamid, so right there are many kohanim that are involved in it. And we would expect more people to be wealthy. By virtue of the fact that we don't see that every Kohen is wealthy, and by virtue of the fact that we're looking at the Psukim linking two things together, so it must be that we have to link into the more uncommon thing than the common thing. That's the way Rashi understands it. It's basically, it's a logical deduction. You could take a look on the Rashi. There is a Gilyon HaShas, Rabbi Kiva Eger. Rabbi Kiva Eger, right here on the daf, normally points us to another Ma'ar Makom, but over here he points us to a Ma'ar Makom on the daf itself. Rabbi Kiva Eger says, take a look at the Tosfos Yeshanim. Okay, not sure if in his published Gemaras he had a Tosfos Yeshanim, but he, of course, knew Shas, Rishonim, he knew everything. Anyway, he says, take a look at the Tosfos Yeshanim. So we could do that. So, and over here, the Tosfos Yeshanim's description of Shchiach and Lo Shchiach, so his understanding is as follows. When it comes to a carbon tamid and the burning of a carbon tamid, so carbon tamid really is a carbonola. Oh, so if carbonola is what's going to make a Kohen wealthy, so it doesn't have to be with a carbon tamid, it could be with any carbonola. So if the carbonola is what's providing bracha, so Tosfos Yeshanim writes, I'm paraphrasing over here, but he writes, so every single Kohen will just simply say, oh, all you have to do is burn a carbonola on the Mizbeach and you get wealthy, and no problem. Okay, I'm going to donate a carbonola and I'm going to burn on the Mizbeach. And in other words, that's totally within your control. And what we're looking for is something that's not totally in his control, notably the Ketores. Because the Ketores, you can't offer the Ketores anytime you want. It's only offered once a day, actually twice a day, right? Half of it in the morning, half in the afternoon. And it's not something that the Kohen could just simply say, I'm going to bring the Ketores. It doesn't work that way. So the Shchiach and Lo Shchiach, according to the Tosfos Yeshanim, is really a function of something that the Kohen could do at any point in time, notably a carbonola, versus a Ketores, which is something a Kohen cannot do at any point in time. That's his understanding of the distinction to be made between the burning of the of an ola versus that of the Ketores. Comes out over here now is that we have a longstanding, we'll call it more than a skula, meaning it's really a hekesh in the psukim that tells us that the kohen that's involved in the Ketores is gonna be able to expect and receive osher, and the psukim that connect the two. And now we, a better understanding of the Mishnah, why it is that for the burning of the Ketores, it's only for first time opportunity. Okay. With that stated, there is a lot of discussion to be had, and it's subsequent to the Gemara. The Gemara itself never has this discussion, but there is a lot of discussion to be had that sandekus, that being a sandek at a bris is somewhat tantamount to the burning of the Ketores. It's kind of hard to see how the two of them are connected one with the other. It's not a vote on the base of Mikdash, whatever. It's hard to see the two, but there is what to be discussed in terms of connecting the two. Okay. I just make mention of it. Okay. Amar Rava. Lo mishkachat zubrem rabbanan damare, ela dasi misheva levi, o misheva yisachar. So you see a young Talmud Chacham, a seasoned Talmud Chacham, so he's going to be somebody who's not only going to be knowledgeable in Torah, but on top of that, it'll also be a posek, right? To be a posek and to decide what the halacha is, so you need experience. And so generally speaking, you can expect it from a seasoned Talmud Chacham. However, a young Talmud Chacham, now young over here, I know everything is relative, but young over here most probably means under the age of 40. Okay, the Gemara doesn't say that here, but that's most probably what it means. But a young Talmud Chacham who's also a posek and really understands the halacha well enough that he knows exactly how to paskin in various situations. So if you see somebody like that, so the expectation is he's either from Sheva Levi or he's from Sheva Yisachar. Now, how do I know that? So once again, now the connection over here is based on it's alluded to in the psukim that we're like kind of like what we saw above with the bircha of Ketores. So Levi dichtiv yaru mishpatech liyakov. So as far as Levi's concerned, so we have a pasuk in Zos Bracha. So yaru mishpatech liyakov, and as far as Yisachar is concerned, so Yisachar yod ebinah liitim ladas ma yase Yisrael. Okay, so it's not a pasuk in Zos HaBracha, but still it's a pasuk in Tanakh in Devar Yamim that indicates that Yisachar also has this kind of knowledge and insight that they could be a posek even though they're young. So again, you see a young Talmud Chacham, so your expectation is either from Sheva Levi or from Sheva Yisachar. Ve'ema Yehuda nami dechziv Yehuda mechokakei. So the Gemara says, okay, Yehuda also by Sheva Yehuda. So we do have a pasuk that describes people coming from Sheva Yehuda as mechokakei. They're deciding, they're making determinations. In other words, they know the halacha. So the Gemara says, no. Asuki shmaita aliba dehilchus hakamina. We're talking about somebody who's not only equipped in learning, but on top of that can really arrive at conclusions. Right? Just because you're knowledgeable in Torah does not mean that you have the ability to arrive at a conclusion. So the people from Sheva Yehuda, so they may be equipped to learn really well. But to come to conclusions, so that's something that is slightly more unique, and that's something that you can expect from people from Yisachar and Levi, like we described earlier, not necessarily Yehuda. Okay, so a slight detour of the Gemara based on the fact that these last drashas at least started with a pasuk in Vezos HaBracha. Okay, let's continue. Halfway down a Chavav Amar Alav Amar Rav Yochanan Ein Mefaisen Al Tamish Abayin Arabayim El Kohen Shezocha Ba Bishachre Zocha Ba Ba'arvis. So you know this afternoon we're going to go through this whole sequence again, meaning in the morning we have the Tamash Shachar, in the afternoon we're going to have the Tamash Bein Arbayim. So a simple question that we could ask, although Rav Yochanan just gave us the answer, is are we going to go through the lottery again this afternoon? Are we going to go through the whole procedure? It sounds reasonable, meaning when you think about it, how else are we going to determine who's going to be doing the Avoda? Sounds like lottery is the best way to go. So Rav Yochanan says no, that there is no pious for the Tamash Bein Arabayim, and so therefore, how are we going to make the determination? It's really simple, says Rav Yochanan. Whoever was awarded the Avoda of Shachris is going to be doing the Avoda in the afternoon. It's really simple. So so the Gemara says, okay, but a couple of challenges towards the sheet of Rav Yochanan. Kishem Shemafaisim Shachris, Kach Mafaisim Bein Arabayim. Okay, the question's very simple. We have a Braisa. The Braisa says that there's a pious in the morning and there's a pious in the afternoon as well. Okay, so sounds a little bit challenging. So the Gemara says, Kitan Yehiba Kataris. So the Gemara deflects. The Gemara says, no. The Braisa that we just quoted, that's talking about the Kataris. Yeah, by the Kataris, so Ein Brei Ra, you can't have the Kohen who did in the morning do in the afternoon. You only have to remember the Gemara of 10 lines earlier. Meaning, so you can't have repeat performances of the Kataris. Yeah, so for the Kataris, I'm with you. You have to do a new lottery in the afternoon for the Kataris. I'm not saying that. I'm saying by everything else, you just simply reuse the same people of the morning. Over here, we have a slightly more expansive brisa. The brisa uses a pronoun. Now, generally speaking, pronouns don't help. Over here, however, it is a little bit helpful because the pronoun that's used is kishem shemafaisim lo. Lo is a pronoun. It means it, but at the same time, however, and again, it gets lost on us English speakers, it's also in the masculine, not in the feminine. Now, if it were to be talking about kitares, so it shouldn't say the word lo, it should say the word la. Okay, so it sounds like from this brisa, with the masculine pronoun, it's going on the rest of the pious for the rest of the carbon. The entire process of the Tamid Shalbein Harbaim will have to be reassigned with a new lottery. That's what it sounds like from this brisa. So aim Allah. So the Gemara says, okay. So if the entire proof is coming from a pronoun, so we'll edit a little bit. Instead of saying the word lo, so we'll edit to say the word law. Okay, it's not the biggest change. Again, you and I have no rights to do this kind of editing, but the Baalei HaGemara, so they feel that, you know, if it's this kind of editing, so they have that kind of editing power. So the Gemara says, Va'atanya, the Gemara says, okay, but kishem shemafaisim lo shachris, kach mefaisim lo arvis. U kishem shemafaisim la shachris, kach mefaisim la arvis. So now we have another braisa, still using pronouns, but the braisa over here is more expansive. The braisa says the pious is done for it, masculine, in the morning, so too in the afternoon. The pious is done for it, feminine, so too in the afternoon. Now the law is talking about the keteris. That part's clear. What's the law talking about? Now this braisa you can't edit because over here editing would mean you'd have to take out a whole sentence. Okay. So Amar Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak Hacha b'Shabbos Laskinan. Gemara comes up with a really ingenious answer. And that is that the braisa that we just learned together, that's talking about on Shabbos. Yeah, on Shabbos, you have to do a new pious in the afternoon. Remember, the mishmaros, the system is, the Kohanim are going to be broken up into 24 mishmaros, they're working 1 week. When does it start? When does it end? And that, of course, is on Shabbos, right around midday. Right? On Shabbos, midday. So changing of the guards. The mishmar of last week now is done. And the new mishmar starting sometime midday Shabbos. Remember the lechem upon him. Taken off of the Shulchan on Shabbos itself, replaced with new lechem upon him. And what happens with those 12 loaves? So we discussed it earlier in our Masechta. But the easiest way to describe it, it's not the only way to describe it, is that 6 loaves go to the Mishmar HaYotzei, and 6 loaves go to the Mishmar Nichnas. So we know that right halfway through Shabbos, so we have a changing of the guard. Now with that stated, so on Shabbos, so you have to do a new pious in the afternoon because you can't reuse the same people this morning. They're gone. Their shift is over. So in the afternoon, Shabbos afternoon, so we have to use the pious. Okay, so the Gemara says it really is an ingenious way to deal with the braisa. And so therefore the Gemara now has stood firm in defending Rav Yochanan. So hol mishmaros mischadasha. So I should have read those words. Anyway. Ulamai desalagadaita mikara nefishalu paisos. So maisi kulamit safra asu. Dezachu be shachri zache dezache bar vizache. So the Gemara says, now for a moment, let's just go back to our havamina. Meaning, before we were challenging Rav Yochanan, just for a moment, let's entertain that Rav Yochanan's wrong. If Rav Yochanan is wrong, so what does that mean? It means that we have a lot more lotteries. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. What would be the havamin of having more lotteries? Aren't we capped at 4? Meaning, isn't the whole point of our perek is that there are 4 lotteries and no more than 4 lotteries? So, look, when all said and done, we ended up defending Rav Yochanan. But even the entertaining the idea that Rav Yochanan is wrong, which the Gemara did, for a handful of lines of Gemara. How could that possibly be? That would mean that there were more lotteries, and that's more than what our parak over here dictates. But the Gemara's answer is very simple. No. In other words, remember, what are lotteries? Lotteries are really times that we assign jobs. So it could very well be that if Rav Yochanan was wrong, so that in the afternoon we would have a new pious, we wouldn't be doing the pious in the afternoon, but rather in the morning, as we are selecting the winners, not only are we selecting the winners for the morning, but we're also selecting the winners in the afternoon. That at least was part of the Havamin of the Gemara. Again, Lamaskana, that's not the case. Lamaskana, we defended Rav Yochanan. Whoever participated in the avoda of the morning are going to be doing the afternoon as well. But at least the Gemara says, what was the thought process in terms of suggesting that there was another pious? And the Gemara's answer is no. Even in the Havamina, there wasn't another pious. It just simply meant that we were selecting more winners. Okay. Good. Now we're up to the fourth of the payaso. So the fourth lottery that was done in the morning. So that was for the determination of which are the kohanim that are going to be marching the parts of the carbon from the ramp up to the mizbeach. Okay. The Gemara's comment over here is very simple, really straightforward, and that is there's a Tana that does not agree with our Mishnah, notably Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. Did not we learn in the Mishnah, Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Hamala Ivarim Lekevish Hamala Osam Lemizbeach. Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov says, there is no fourth lottery. Now, in a moment, that's going to sound strange because, right, our whole perek is built on the idea that there are four lotteries. But let's just right now understand Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov Kipshuto. There isn't a fourth lottery, according to Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. Why? Because you know who's going to be bringing up all the parts of the Karmat Tamid from the ramp up to the Mizbeach? The same Kohanim that brought it up to the ramp to begin with. Okay, in other words, then that was already established in the second lottery. So those Kohanim, those same Kohanim, are then going to just simply bring it up from the ramp up to the Mizbeach. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov is also in agreement that there's going to be a stopover on the ramp itself, but it's going to be the same Kohanim. Now, by my kemiflegis, what is the nekud hamachlokis between the Tanakam of our Mishnah and Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov? The Gemara goes on to explain. So, as far as our Mishnah is concerned, the Tan of our Mishnah, so he is relying on the principle of Rov Amahajos Melech. The more people that are participating in the mitzvah, the better. So if you have an option in which you can get more people involved, that's what's called Rov Amahajos Melech. More Hidr, it's more Kavata Kadosh Baruch Hu when more people are involved. So that's why we'll get another group of Kohanim to bring it up from the ramp into the Mizbeach. That's our Tana. And what Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov says is that, Makom Shechina Lav Arech Ara. It's not Derech Eretz. Not Derech Eretz, meaning what's happening over here? You have a group of Kohanim who are bringing up the parts of the carbon up to the ramp, and it stops. So basically, what have they done? And they've done half a mitzvah. The mitzvah is incomplete. And now what? Now we're going to select a new group of Kohanim who are going to then say, you know what? We'll just take over from here. No, if you're starting a mitzvah, you should finish the mitzvah. So it's lav derech eretz. It's just simply not appropriate. Okay, that's the back and forth, says the Gemara, between our Mishnah that says that you get a new group of Kohanim versus Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says you get the same Kohanim. Okay, Tosfos over here, second Tosfos from the bottom, says it really bothers me. Says Tosfos, you know, we have this discussion about having multiple Kohanim and being involved in one avoda. And we're all familiar with it. Not so long ago, we were learning this in Pesachim. So, Afilu Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, second to last Tosfos, de kasav rahacha, de lav arachara, nira, de modahu, be'ahid de tamanishchat, be'erev ha-pesach, shacha yisrael v'kibel ha-kohen, nasna l'chaver v'chaver l'chavero, ad v'ha-kohen ha-kohar v'etzom izbech zarku, zrika achas, keneged ha-yesod, u'mefarsh be'gemar tamen mishum b'rav amajos melech. So Tosfos says, remember the Gemara Pesachim? We're all familiar, right? It's beautiful imagery. You have a line of Kohanim, basically a fireman's ladder of Kohanim, and what they're going to do is they're going to be passing the bowl from one Kohen to another Kohen of the various carbon Pesachs that were being shechted, and then the Kohen who is standing right next to the Mizbeach at the end of the line, so he would give the spritz, he would do the Zrika, and so you only needed one Kohen to be mekabel the blood and do the zrika, and meanwhile, you had a fireman's ladder. And why? So the Gemara over there in Pesachim says, because of the principle of Rov Amahajos Melech. Yeah, it's nicer to have more people involved. So Tosfos says, you want to tell me that Rav Elazar ben Yaakov disputes that Mishnah over there? Hard to imagine. Tosfos says, I can't imagine. So if that's true, meaning if he doesn't dispute the depiction of Erev Pesach, so then begs the question, what's the difference? Why over there is Rav Elazar ben Yaakov happy with the concept of Rov Amahajos Melech, and over here he's not happy with the principle, and he feels that Derech Eretz over here should be more significant? So Tosfos writes, "Dehasam lo shech lemeimer lav arachara sharei kish ayan nosan lechavero lo haya holech lo elachozer umekaba umoshit V'chozer u'mekabel u'moshit. Sharei rov p'sachim hayalahem. Aval hecha shemolech ad lekevish v'holech lo. Ha'u vada lav orach ara. So Tosfos gives a distinction. I'll try to explain it to the best of my understanding. And that is that when it comes to the Karban Pesach, so you're not doing half a job and then walking away. If you do half a job and walk away, lav orach ara. It's not derech eretz. Like our description over here. Okay, in other words, you took the Karban Tumid up the ramp. Okay, good. Somebody else take over. Of course, that's not the attitude, but that's how it could be perceived. So somebody else to take over. As opposed to the Karban Pesach, where you have the bulls shuttling between all these Kohanim, so they're not walking away. They're passing. They're taking back the empty bowl. They're passing forward. They're taking back an empty bowl. And so it's clear over there that they were given a particular job. They're not walking away halfway through the avoda. So over there, just contextually, it's not a bizayon. It's not a lack of derech eretz. As opposed to over here, it could be perceived as that. What comes out from this Tosos is that Rav Elazar ben Yaakov agrees to the principle of Rav Amadras Melech, which I don't think it's not much of a chiddush. Meaning that's a pasuk. But what Rav Elazar ben Yaakov is saying is that, yeah, but there are mitigating concerns. Meaning, under normal circumstances, of course I subscribe to Rav Amadras Melech, as we saw in the Gemara in Pesachim. But if there is mitigating concerns, notably, the idea that it's not Derech Eretz, like over here, so Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says, that's going to trump Rav Amadras Melech. And obviously the counter-argument, which is obviously the Tana of our Mishnah, is that no, Rav Amadras Melech is such a strong direction of the Torah that no, even though it may be perceived as a lack of derech eretz, but Rav Amadras Melech tells us that every you should get more Kohanim involved. Amar Rava, three lines from the bottom, Chav Vavam and Aleph. So lo Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov Islay de Rebbe Yehuda, v'lo Rebbe Yehuda Islay de Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. De imkein basalu payasos. So now that we were just introduced to the Tana Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, so the Gemara now makes the observation that he can't agree to Rebbe Yehuda. Which Rebbe Yehuda? The one of yesterday's daf. And Rebbe Yehuda can't agree to Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. Now you remember Rebbe Yehuda yesterday? So the Rebbe Yehuda says that for the Ketoros there was no pious for the Michate. Right? We didn't have a separate lottery for the Kohen who's bringing the coal from the outer Mizbeach to the inner Mizbeach. Rather, right, the Rebbe Yehuda says what happens is, whoever won the Ketores, so he'll tap the Kohen to his right, say, hey, you come with me. Right? I'm bringing the Ketores. And you're going to bring the coal. Right? So that we can burn the Ketores. Good. That was Shitas Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov in today's daf said that we're not going to do a fourth pious. Okay, so what the Gemara now is assuming is that everyone gets to the number four. Everybody has to get to the number four. Four is a Mesorah. There were four payasos. So if you're Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, how do you get to the number four? So the Gemara comes up with a smart way to do so. He doesn't agree to Rebbe Yehuda of yesterday's daf, which means that there was a separate pious for the Mechate. Okay, good. That brings us to the number four. Meaning he took out the fourth pious because he felt that there was the same Kohanim who brought the Karban Tumid from the ramp up to the Mizbeach. So you deduct one, but you add one by having a separate pious for the Mechata. Good. And now we also are going to add that Rav Yehuda, who does not have a separate pious for the Mechata, so that means to say that he can't agree with Rav Elazar ben Yaakov because, again, he needs that fourth pious. What's that fourth pious for Rav Yehuda? The pious of today's daf. In other words, he's of the position that there are separate Kohanim we're going to be bringing up from the ramp up into the Mizbech. Okay, so no one can subscribe to three payasos. So by definition, so these Tanaim must disagree with the other Tana, as we just explained. Now what happens if in the event in your learning, you happen to come across a Braisa that says that there were five payasos? Now, it's funny, in our Mishnayos, obviously, we don't have that. But it must be out there. And I'm kind of foreshadowing the Gemara coming up later this morning. So the Gemara says, now, if you find such a Tana, so Deloka Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, Deloka Rebbe Yehuda, so that's very simple. Meaning that if you find a Tana that says that there are five lotteries, it means they don't agree with Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, meaning that there is an extra pious for taking up from the ramp to the top of the Mizbeach. And also, you don't subscribe to Rebbe Yehuda, which means that there's an extra pious for the Mechateh, And if you find a Tana that says there were five payasos, so now how, you know how to get there. You have to not subscribe to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and you have to not subscribe to Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. Tamikra betisha, be'asara, be'achadasar, uvishneimasar. How many Kohanim are going to be involved in the marching up of the limbs from the ramp up to the Mizbeach? So the numbers can range anywhere from 9 to 12. It could be 9, it could be 10, could be 11, could be, it could be 12. Now that is confusing because, didn't we just go over the numbers, 2 days ago? On Dav Chavei. It's funny, I say 2 days ago. I meant 1 day ago. So in yesterday's daf, so we went over the numbers. And the number from yesterday came out to 13. So why over here are we going anywhere in the range from 9 to 12? So as Rashi points out over here, and it's pretty obvious, because what we're doing over here is that we're just talking about the marching of the limbs, meaning what we're not considering right now is who's shechting, who's doing the zrika, who's being medashing the mizbech panimi, who's being medashing the menorah. So take those four out. So basically, from number five onward, right? Number five and onward is mi ma'ale evarim lekevish, who's taking the limbs to the ramp, and then subsequently, who's going to be taking it from the ramp up to the top of the mizbeach. So our mission over here is just counting those. So those can range anywhere from 9 to 12. How do we get a range from 9 to 12? The mission is going to spell it out. So lo pachos v'lo yoser. And by the way, the Gemara says that's it. That's the range. Meaning it can't be less than 9, it can't be greater than 12. So Ketzad, so Atzmo Bites. So under on a regular day in the base of Mikdash, so it's going to be 9 Kohanim in total. Okay, 5 for the actual animal itself, like we described in yesterday's daf, and another 4 to bring up the Nisachim. So the so Bechag now on Sukkot, what are we going to do? So we're going to add one. So Bechag Biyad Echad Solchus Shamayim Harei Kanasara. So the Socha Shamayim, right, a jar of water, a jug of water for the mitzvah of Nisach HaMayim, right? We described Nisach HaMayim already in this parak, and today's daf, we're going to be describing it just a little bit more. So anyway, so on a standard day of Sukkot, so you have Nisach HaMayim on all days of Sukkot. We're going to see that in the Mishnah Sukkah. So that means that every day, so the Nisach HaMayim is brought up by another Kohen, and so that now is our 10th Kohen. Bein Arbayim Ba'acharasar. Now, during the Bein Arbayim, so the march up to the up the Mizbeach is going to be done by 11 Kohanim. 11 Kohanim, how do you get to the number 11? The Mishnah goes on to explain. Hu Atzma B'tisha. Again, for the carbon itself, it's 9, like in the morning. Ushnaim B'yadam Shnei Gzira Eitzim. Now, another 2 Kohanim, because you're bringing up 2 logs of wood, in the afternoon, we are going to be supplementing the fire on the Mizbeach daily with 2 logs of wood. And that's done in the afternoon. B'Shabbos B'Acharasar. So on Shabbos now it's also going to be 11. How do you get to 11 on Shabbos? Hu Atzma B'Tisha. Again, the carbon itself is going to be 9. U'Shnayim B'Yadam Shnei B'Zichei Levonash Olechem Apanim. And also, you're going to have another 2 Kohanim because they're going to be walking up with the 2 spoonfuls of the Levona. Remember the Lechem Apanim? So we just described it earlier this morning. So on the top of the 2 columns, you have 2 columns made up of 6 loaves. So on top of each of the columns, you have 2 spoonfuls of Lavona. And and those spoonfuls of Lavona are going to be burnt on the Mizbeach. They serve as the matir for the Lechem upon him. So obviously now they're also going to be marched up to the top of the Mizbeach. And that's going to be done by 2 separate Kohanim. So that's 9 plus 2, that's 11. Uvishabi shebetoch achag biyad echad tzochi shamayim. Now, on Sukkot Shabbos morning, so that gets us to the maximum number of 12. Because Sukkot Shabbos morning, so again, 9 for the carbon tamid, another 2 for the bezichin, that's 11, and then another kohen is bringing up the water for the nisach hamayim, so that's 12. Okay, so that's how the range goes, anywhere from 9 to 12. So Amar Abba, V'itema Rami, Barchami, V'itema Rev Yochanan. So the Gemara now tells us a halacha, various opinions, mesoros in terms of who's providing this halacha. The halacha is a menaschin, mayim b'chag, ela b'tamashol shachar. So Nisach HaMayim. Okay, so it is, it's underreported in the Torah. It's more than underreported. It's not in the Torah. The Gemara has a couple of allusions of where we could see this in the Torah, but it's halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim. It's part of our Mitzvah that we do the Nisach HaMayim. There are no clear instructions in the Torah in terms of how this mitzvah is done. So over here, as part of the Mitzvah, we're learning now, today's daf, funny place, Yuma, and Chavav, but we're learning in today's daf that it was only brought in the morning together in conjunction with the Tamid Shel Shachar, and it was not brought in the afternoon. Okay. So, Mimai Miditani. Now, what we can show is the evidence that this is in fact so. Meaning, obviously, we don't have a makor. We're not going to have any makor for the halachas of Nisach HaMayim. But at least we have Mishnayos that would seem to indicate that the Nisach HaMayim was only done in the morning with the Tamid Shel Shachar. How do we know that? Midiktani. Uvi Shabbos HaPetoch HaChag B'yad HaChad Tzuch HaShamayim. Okay, because look at Shabbos HaPetoch HaChag. Now we're looking at Sukkos Shabbos, right? When the one day of Sukkot, so there's going to be one day, is going to coincide with Shabbos. So under those circumstances now, you're going to be hitting the number 10. On Shabbos and Sukkot, you're going to hit the number 12, right? 9 for the Karban Tamid, an additional for the Tzuchus Shomayim, and an additional 2 because of the Bezicha Lavona. And the Gemara over here now makes a simple deduction. And that is the Isak Adacha B'Tamishal Bein Arba'im Menaschin Bechol. I'm sorry, Menaschin Bechol Nami Mishkachala. Let's just for a moment imagine that the Nisach HaMayim is not only done in the morning, but it's also done in the afternoon. So now, what's that going to mean? Every day of Sukkot, you're going to be maxing out at 12. Not just Shabbos, but every day of Sukkot. Consider in the afternoon what comes every afternoon. Aside from the Tamid, which is 9, you also have the Gzirei Eitzim, which is another 2, that's 11. And then on top of that, if you have the Nisach HaMayim, so then that would get you to 12. Our Mishnah over here says that the only time that you get to 12 is only going to be on Sukkos and on Shabbos. Oh, okay, good. So it's a great deduction. So I'm Rav Ashi Avanami Tanina. So Rav Ashi says, good, let's pour it on. Other proofs that the Nisach HaMayim was only done in the morning and not in the afternoon. So Ula Menasech Omer Lo Hagbe Yadech Shepam Achas Nasach Al Gabe Raglav Uragamu Kol Ambes Rogehen. So over here, one of the more famous episodes that the Gemara relates to us, and that is that there was a Tzduki, and he was doing Nisach HaMayim. Now the Tzduki didn't believe in Nisach HaMayim, right? Part of carrying your Tzduki membership card with you is that you reject the Mesorah. And over here to do the mitzvah of Nisach HaMayim, so the Tzdukim outright reject the mitzvah, meaning there is no mitzvah of Nisach HaMayim. Because if it's in the Torah, fine, it's a mitzvah. If it's not in the Torah, so they reject it. They reject the Torah Shebaal Peh. They rejected our Mesorah, the part of the Mesorah that's not Kasa B'Torah. And even the parts that are Kasa B'Torah, by the way, they reject our interpretation. They go with their interpretation. This is here in Yuma, by the way, it's a major theme in Masechta Yuma. So, if you now are Tzduki, with water on the top of the Mizbeach, so do you want to do Nisach HaMayim? No. You don't believe in it. So, there happened to have been an episode, where there was a Tzduki coming, and we say Hagbe Yadecha. So, basically the instructions always were, you know what? Make sure that you pour in a way that we could see. Right? Most of these spectators are down on the floor. So we want to make sure that he's pouring and he's pouring in the right location. When we get to Sukkah, we'll talk about where the right location is. There are 2 holes on the southwest corner of the Mizbeach. We'll be more specific. But we want to make sure that he's pouring in the right location. There was an occasion once where there was a Tzduki who had the Nisach HaMayim, and instead of pouring it down the holes of the Mizbeach, he poured it on his feet. Basically, it was a dismissal of the mitzvah. And the people saw, and it was obvious that that's what he did. And so what did they do? They pelted him with a srogim. Okay. Huh? In this version of the story, they pelted him with a srogim. Okay, as far as we're concerned over here, we're interested in one detail. And that is that Nisach HaMayim is done in the morning. So how do we get from the story to that Nisach HaMayim was done in the morning? So Rashi tells us, when do you take lulav and esrog? You take it in the morning. Now, obviously, the mitzvah itself could be done kol hayom kulo, but zrizim makdim l'mitzvos, and so you take it in the morning. So when did they have? When did Klal Yisrael have esrog in hand? So it was the morning. Okay, good. So that's the raya that the that nisach hamayim was done in the morning. So shmamina. Okay, Tanya, halfway down on the amud on chavav amud beis Rashbi Omer minayin l'tamish al bein arabayim shetown shnei gzirei eitzim. Okay, b'shnei kohanim. Okay, so here in our mishnah, so we learned that as far as the march up the mizbech is concerned. So in the afternoon with the Tamish Al-Bayin Arbaim, you also have two logs of wood. So the Gemara wants to know, where do we see this? Meaning, okay, good, it's part of our Masorah, but is there any source for that? Shenamah, the Pasuk says, V'archu Eitzim. Okay, so we do have a Pasuk. It says, V'archu Eitzim. Now, im eino ingin l'tamish al-shachar. Now, it can't be talking about the Tamish al-shachar. Why? Why can't they be talking about the Tamish al-shachar? Look at the Pasuk in context. It's not clear. That's talking about the Tamid Shel Bein Arabayim, but the Gemara now makes an argument. It can't be talking about Tamid Shel Shachar. Why? Dichsiv uvir alaha hakoin etzim baboker baboker. V'arach alaha. Because later, in the beginning of Parshat Tzav, where the Torah gives a clear description of the Tamid Shel Shachar, it says uvir alaha. And he will burn it. Meaning, there's one log that goes up. So, Taneo le'ingin Tamid Shel Bein Arabayim. So in the morning, we have only one log that goes up. So now when the Torah gives a description, the beginning of Sefer Vayikra and Perek Aleph, of the V'archu Eitzim, two logs of wood. So if it can't be in the morning, so then process of elimination. So it must be in the afternoon. Okay, that's the evidence the Gemara support, the Gemara provides. To which the Gemara says, that's not such compelling evidence. So, V'ema idiv idiv b'tam shel shachar. Avid v'hadar avid. So maybe could we suggest that the logs of wood go up in the morning, and there are two psukim. Fine, there are two psukim. So maybe what the Torah expects from us is to go in two rounds. Round number one, bring up a log. Round number two, bring up another log. But they're both together with the Tamid Shel Shachar, not the Tamid Shel Bein Arabayim. So the Gemara says no. Imkei ne'makra uvier uvier. So maybe no. If that's what the Torah wanted us to do, the Torah would have repeated the term. So ikat rachmana uvir hava minachad in treylo kamash malan danavid chad v'navid trey. So the Gemara says no. The Torah couldn't have done that because if it would have said bier bier, so then what we would have concluded is that you bring one up and then in round two you're going to bring another one up. So but that's not correct. Meaning it's one and then follow them by another two. So the Gemara says, "Imkei ne'makra uvier v'aro, inami va'arach v'archo, my uvier v'archo, shmamina k'dekamrinan." So the Gemara says, "Look, the Torah doesn't use the exact same verb; uses a different verb. So it comes to tell us now that it must be that the bringing up of the logs are not done at the same time period. One's done in the morning, one's done in the afternoon." Since we know the one in Parshat Tzav is a description of the morning, so we assume that that's the one log that goes up in the morning. And then, the pasuk in the beginning of Vayikra, even though it's not super clear, but by process of elimination, plus coupled with the fact that it's using a slightly different verb, so therefore it must be describing the afternoon. Okay. Tani Rabbi Chiya. And just as a great way now to recap the second half of today's daf, so the Gemara quotes a Braisa, Rabbi Chiya. Pious, so as far as the lottery is concerned, so how many winners are there? So we learned in yesterday's daf there are 13 winners. So good. So now take yesterday's daf, take today's daf, and now we're going to get the complete picture. So Pamim Yud Gimel, Pamim Yud Dal, Pamim Tes Vav, Pamim Tes Zayin. The total number is going to be anywhere between 13 and 17. Now, right, our Mishnah said 9 to 12. Right, 9 to 12. But then, of course, what you're going to be doing is you're going to be adding to, I'm sorry, I jumped ahead, right? Anywhere from 13 to 16. So, and our mission that says 9 to 12, so what you're going to do is say 9 to 12 plus the 4 that we learned in yesterday's Mishnah. Mi shochet, mi zorek, mi medashen. Good. So the total number of winners of the lottery can range anywhere from 13 to 16. V'atanya Yudzayin, the Gemara says, okay, I have a braisa that says 17. Who's the author of that braisa? So the Gemara says, now I know. It's the mystery that the Gemara alluded to earlier this morning. So Ahida lo k'Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, ela k'Reb Yehuda. So that it's not going like Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, but rather it's going like Reb Yehuda. Meaning that Reb Elazar ben Yaakov Reb Elazar ben Yaakov does not have that extra pious for who's going up from the ramp up to the top of the Mizbeach. Okay, so for him now, you're right. You take away a lottery, but if you don't subscribe to that, so then you add a lottery, and that gets us one extra lottery. Okay, we'll pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up with the Mishnah. Let's quickly recap. Okay, the two Mishnahs that we covered in today's daf, right? The Amud Aleph and the Amud Beis. On the Amud Aleph, so we learned about lotteries numbers 3 and 4. 3 is for the Ketores. Only Chadashim, only new timers can come and even participate in this lottery because the Ketores is Ma'asher. And then for the fourth lottery, who advances all the parts of the carbon from the ramp up to the top of the Mizbeach. So that was done with the fourth lottery. So on the Amud Aleph today, so we established a couple of things. Number one, the skula of burning the Ketores and providing Osher for the Kohen that does so. So where do we see it? So we see it from the Pesukim in Vezosa Bracha. And as long as we quoted those psukim, so we also talked about young Talmidei Chachamim who are not just knowledgeable in Torah, but also able to paskin. So they're coming from Shevet Levi or Shevet Yisachar. Okay, there is no lottery that's done on the Tamid Shel Bein Arba'im, but rather all the Kohanim who participate in the Tamid Shel Shachar are also going to come back this afternoon for the Tamid Shel Bein Arba'im. Okay, that's the Shita of Rav Yochanan. The Gemara supported it. And finally, on the Amud Aleph, we did Shitas Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, that there was no fourth lottery. Why? How do you arrive at that conclusion? There was no fourth lottery because it was the same Kohanim who brought the parts of the carbon up to the ramp. They're the same Kohanim who are going to be bringing it up to the top of the Mizbeach. Why? So the argument provided for Rav Elazar ben Yaakov is Lav Arach Ara. It's not Derech Eretz to just stop in the middle of a mitzvah and then have somebody else finish the mitzvah? Okay. And we quoted Tosfos this morning, noting that Rav Elazar ben Yaakov agrees to Rav Amadras Melech, just not over here. And as far as our Mishnah is concerned, predicated on the principle of Rav Amadras Melech. That's the Amud Aleph. And the Amud Beis, so we spoke about that there are at least 9 Kohanim who are doing the march to the ramp, and then from the ramp to the top of the Mizbeach. Although in yesterday's daf we said 13, but our mission over here on the Amud Beis of today's daf is just focusing on who's involved in the marching up the ramp. So there are 9, but it could be as many as 12. So anywhere between a range of 9 to 12, and it really depends on what items have to go up onto the Mizbeach. On a standard morning, 9 items go up onto the Mizbeach, but then you also have to take into consideration that in the afternoon you have 2 blocks of wood. On Shabbos you have the 2 Bezichei Lavona. On Sukkot, you have the Tzloches Shamayim. So there are other items that are going to get marched up. So it's a range anywhere between 9 and 12. The Gemara's discussion was revolving Rav Yochanan's statement that Nisuch Hamayim on Sukkot was only done in the morning in conjunction with the Tamid Shel Shachar, not with the Tamid Shel Bein Arba'im. And the Gemara cites a number of pieces of evidence that this is in fact so. Our Mishnah, a braisa about pelting the Kohen with the Esrogim. Okay, it's a very supportable position. The Gemara seems to have totally supported that position. The source of the 2 blocks of wood, the Gemara provided that as well. And finally, some total now of number of Kohanim that are going to be winning the lottery. So the total number is going to be ranging anywhere from 13 all the way up to 16. There's a Braisa that says 17.